And so we begin this new season of Lent, these 40 days when we can begin to focus more specifically on what's important. Like the first reading, we're taken into the desert. The scene you have there is Moses assembled before all of the nations, before the people of God. They're assembled there on the edge of the Jordan River, waiting to cross the river and to take possession of the promised land. But Moses himself won't go with them. And so they're still there on the floor of the Jordan Valley, waiting in the wilderness, waiting in the desert. And Moses gives these final instructions to the people. And it goes for many chapters in the last section of the book of Deuteronomy. And so here there is this call to remember what your story is. Remember the story of our ancestors. And particularly remember that our father was a wandering Aramean. And the Lord took him and all of his family down into Egypt. So who are they talking about? Who is Moses referring to here? Who's the wandering Aramean?
Jacob, the father of the 12 sons, Joseph and the others. Jacob, of course, wasn't actually a wandering Aramean, but he married two Aramean daughters and then began to wander in the desert. And so, in a sense, he was tested as well in the wilderness.
There is this deep sense in Scripture and across normal life. You know, if you're buying a new car, what's one of the first things that you do? If you go to the car dealer, what do? You take it for a test drive. Yeah, you try it out. If we see a new politician or the new president or something, we generally say, they may be okay, but they're not yet tested. We haven't actually seen them do the thing that they're supposed to do. And so we wait and we hold up our judgment, hopefully, until they have been tested, until they've been in the position, in the role for some time. That we need to be tested. You know, we expect that when we're learning to drive, that we will go through these series of trials, these series of tests, in order to prove ourselves worthy of holding a license, presumably. And so Jesus also is tested, like so many figures across the centuries in the Old Testament and then through Christian history, have also been tested. Each of us as well needs to be tested. And where does this happen? It's always in the desert. Because so often we fill our lives with so many other things. We fill our lives with all of these things that distract us, that take us away from what we should be doing. I know when I look back on my day often, and I think, gosh, what have I achieved? What have I actually done? All I've probably done is reorganize my sock drawer or fixed some of the files on my computer. That we spend so much time doing so little at times. And so this season of Lent is a reminder that we need to go into the desert and to begin to consider some of those essential questions, to remember our past, to remember our history, which is why Moses does this with the people. Before he gives them the commandments, he tells them the story once again. Remember that you were a people, a great nation, but under the Egyptians, an even greater nation, you were oppressed and you were enslaved. And it was only through the power of God that you were freed. Remember, as St. Paul tells us in the 10th chapter of the Romans, remember the power of what God wants to do in your life. That if you but call upon the name of the Lord, then you will be saved. What are the important questions in our world? What are the important questions in my life that at times I allow myself to be distracted from? Who is God? Who am I? Am I doing what is necessary to be part of the kingdom of God? Am I on the way to heaven? Or am I way to some other place? Am I sharing the gift of my faith? Am I using these gifts and abilities that the Lord has given me to the best? What are the questions that really should lie at the heart of my life? But so often we lay aside. So often we let all sorts of other things get in the road of. And it's the same case with Jesus. When he's led into the wilderness by the Spirit. The Spirit who has just come down upon him in his baptism. And then the Spirit drove him out into the desert to spend these 40 days there in the wilderness. Because he, like us, experienced what it was to be human. Went through every kind of thing. Went through temptations. Shared with us everything. Except that he doesn't actually sin. And so when, at the end of these 40 days, Satan comes. The first of the temptations that he faces there in the floor of the desert, which is full of these rounded stones in the Judean desert. And undoubtedly over the last 40 days, he would have been looking at these and just, you know, sometimes, oh, is that a piece of bread? You know, you can imagine that he would have, you know, been thinking about food. He's a bloke after all. And so then Satan says, you know, turn these rocks, turn these stones into bread. Satisfy your passion, satisfy your desires for food, for drink, for sex, for pleasure. All of these are good things. All of these have their appropriate place. But at times, we let all of these things be the one driving force in our life. Sometimes we say, these are the one thing that is necessary in my life. But if that's where our heart is, if that's where we're being led, very quickly our whole lives will begin to fall apart. You know, you get the sense of this when you see a small child in a supermarket, you know, and they've just spotted that chocolate bar that they want. And what do they say? It's just, mommy, mommy, I want it. And they won't let up until you give it to them. But if you give it to them, then they want another one. Then they want something else. If we allow the passions, if we allow our desires to so drive us, ultimately it's destructive. And so Jesus answers this first temptation, like he answers all of them, by the quotation of Scripture. But no, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is the truth of our lives. So then he's led from the floor of the desert up to a high place, a place where the accuser, Satan, can show him all of the kingdoms of the world. Remember that everything that Satan says, there's always an element of truth, but there's always a lie. And so he says that all of these powers have been given to me. They're under my dominion. And there's a truth to that, but there's also a lie, because everything belongs to God. And only God has the power to give these things. And so Jesus is tempted, not by the passions, but by the will for power, by the will for authority. Again, they're good things. We call God the author of life. We call God the all-powerful one. To have power is not wrong. But to have that as the sole possession of our life, to have that as the only motivation in our life, that is where it goes wrong. And again, we see that across human history, where people, particularly men, have taken upon this desire for power, and it has just driven them. Sometimes they've been very ascetical. Sometimes they've been able to suppress all their other passions in life in order to focus on this one thing, you know, this one ability to control and rule and have power over people. Maybe it pops up not in that grand picture, but in much smaller details. Maybe it's when we have that desire to know things, to hear gossip, to listen to stories about one another. Maybe it's just that desire to control what's happening in our family, to manipulate things and events so that they work out according to my agenda and my schedule. Whatever it is, the Lord Jesus says, no, you shall not worship anyone but the Lord your God. You shall serve him alone. Once we put that in the right perspective, once we have that position where we can worship the Lord alone, then everything else can begin to fall into its proper place. Everything else then can begin to be served. But we need to worship the Lord first, and then everything else will begin to take effect and take its proper place in our lives. Finally, Jesus is taken to the third place of temptation. And now it's to Jerusalem, and now it's to the pinnacle of the temple. And Jerusalem is a city that contains the temple. Jerusalem is a city that is at the heart of Jewish life and worship. The temple is everything for the Jewish people. It's not just their religious place, but it's their social place, their cultural place, their political place. It's the heart of everything that they possess. So Jesus is taken to the very heart of social life, of religious life, of political life, and taken to the very high point in the temple. And it's a place that looks over the Kidron Valley. And it would have been very high, about 160 meters above the floor of the valley. So it was a high place. And from there, Satan says, you know, throw yourself off, because you are the center of the universe. You are the Son of God. Again, truth, but twisted. And saying the angels themselves will come and support you. The angels themselves will come and ensure that you don't dash your foot against a stone. Again, it's true. But Jesus isn't about his ego. Jesus doesn't want that to be the driving force in his life. He doesn't want to be at the center. He wants to be the servant of all. And so he says, no, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You shall not tempt the Lord. We simply, humbly worship the Lord. We lay our life before him. We put all of our passions, all of our desires, all of our ego at the foot of the altar. As Moses reminded us in the first reading, we're called to bring the first fruits of what we have, the best of what we have achieved, the best of all that we have, all that we have done, all that the Lord has blessed us with, and we lay that before the altar of God. That is the thing that, in order to achieve this perspective, to place the best of our lives before the Lord, to worship Him, to serve Him, to lay ourselves before Him, to acknowledge that we don't live by bread alone, to acknowledge that we worship the Lord first, to acknowledge that we do not put the Lord to the test, but we simply love Him and receive the life and the love that He has given us. During the season of Lent, we're invited to reflect. What are those things that do distract me? What are those things that do orient me towards the passions, towards power, towards the ego? What are those things that during this season of Lent I need to go into the desert with? I need to say no to them in order that I can say yes to those bigger questions in my life. Can I, with St. Paul, simply come before Him and proclaim the name of Jesus? Can I find life and freedom in His name? Can I find truth in the name of Jesus? Can I find life in His name? Can I lay aside everything else so that I have time to worship, pray, fast, to give alms, so that I can have that focus simply on the power of God's love, always at work in my life, always desiring to bring forth the best of fruits in my life so that I can share those with others, so that I can be a partner in the kingdom of God.